اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق والصلاة والسلام على النبي الأمي العربي المكي المدني العبد المؤيد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد أبو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد.
أما بعد، فأذكر الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق القائلين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى. صدق الله العظيم. This first majlis of Al-Mehdi Institute is Alhamdulillah right before the month of Muharram, primarily to promote the educational projects of this institute and taking inspiration from the teachings of Imam Mazlum alayhi salam, who rose up to awaken the conscience of the Ummah and enlighten their intellect, their aql, and in doing so, the day of Ashura in the land of Karbala became the place where Haq and Batil came against each other. And before and on that particular day, Imam alayhi salam, in his words, he tried to make people think. Intellect, he wanted to awaken the intellect of humans. If people think, then they will not be deceived by shaitan. So, as you just heard Brother Yusuf to talk about the educational projects, inshallah, with your help and with the grace of Almighty Azza wa Jal, we are hoping and we are praying that we could gradually establish a learning institute where the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam can be promoted. And of course, majalis and workshops and such events are places, are situations and events where people come together, so we get an opportunity to talk to people. And a learning institute, which is what our imams did, whenever they had a chance, the first thing they did was open the university. Imam Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, they had just a few years, an opportunity where they could, they had just enough peace, they immediately started teaching and invited people, and there were several thousand students from all schools of thought, and non-Muslims, atheists and other groups of people, Christians and Jews, come to learn. To the extent that it narrated that our sixth imam had 4,000 students in Medina. And when he used to write, when he used to speak from the minbar of the Holy Prophet in Medina, several thousand pens were moving and writing. And that is what made us Shia Muslims and the followers of truth, because we have the treasure of knowledge. And that we need to really open and really, you know, learn and understand. And this is the whole purpose of that. There are, alhamdulillah, a lot of Islamic centers doing good work. And we want to do more, inshallah. Because more can be done when people have knowledge and then they organize events to promote the message outside. And this is an Islamic duty. So I won't elaborate any further on this point. Today, in this time that we have together, I would briefly speak about one of those subjects that we find in the Ahadith. And it is called Haya. Inshallah, this coming Muharram, where I'm going to read Ashra, inshallah, I will discuss in length. The simple thing that we see in our lives, we are in a masjid setting, we hear, you know, something about Islam and Ahlul Bayt, and it affects us. But as we separate ourselves from that position, when we are with other people, we tend to make mistakes, or we tend not to be able to control ourselves, our speech, our actions, our eyes, you know, our thoughts, our feelings. It seems like we're losing control of ourselves. And especially when we are alone, you know, or when we are traveling, you know, and living in a place where nobody knows us, we see the faith and the knowledge that we have seems to dilute, you know, and feel like we want to go back and learn more to protect ourselves. But when we are not in the masjid, how and why is it that this power of restraint, you know, becomes weak? And when that happens, we of course feel sorry for ourselves. Something they call sharm or guilt, right? The guilt that we feel, we are feeling this guilt to whom? We are feeling guilty primarily to ourselves, actually. Because guilt is something people feel even if they don't believe in God. Right? So actually the person who's feeling this shame, this haya, this guilt, is feeling ashamed of himself. Why he did that? Why he said that? Why she went that way or did something, right? So people are feeling guilty because they see themselves doing something which is not in sync with one's own intellect. One has, in a way, compromised oneself when he is or she has done something wrong. Correct? Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Haya is, first of all, the word haya has to be understood what it means in dictionary, in the words of ulama akhlaq. And then we move to some Quran and hadith, how further it has been elaborated. I won't go too much into that, but I will touch upon these points just to make a right concept of it. In our discussions of theory of knowledge, we also looked at this point, how important it is to be able to define something correctly. One of the major areas in logic, in Ilmul Mantiq, is to be able to define something correctly. Sometimes two people are arguing over something, about a word, about something, but actually both have a different concept of that word. They don't know what that means, and they're arguing about it. If somebody would just define it correctly, and both of them, now it may be that both of them have a wrong definition, it may be that one has the right definition, the other has a wrong definition, and they don't know that they are actually fighting over two different things. They're not really talking about the same subject. Therefore, here we are trying to define the word haya. Well, haya is a state that we find ourselves in certain situations where, and this is how the dictionaries, Arabic dictionaries define it, where you feel constricted inside, like jakrao mehsus karte, you feel like, oh, this is bad, I can't do this, you know. You feel ashamed, which means that like someone is tightening the grip on you. You don't feel open and excited or interested in something, just the opposite of that. Not interested and trying to restrain yourself, and you feel bad about something, right? This is this kind of a inner, you know, psychological state. If you look at the words of ulama akhlaq, the scholars who worked in, you know, moral issues, you will see that they add this one point to this definition. They say that this the state of the soul, feeling, you know, constrained, feeling constricted inside, right? This happens when you fear someone may see you doing it or saying it. Now, it may be something wrong a person is doing and he's feeling scared or ashamed that someone may see. Or it is something good that, you know, if you don't do it, you feel ashamed. It may not be a bad action necessarily. It may be a bad action that if you're scared that if you do it, you'll be seen. Or it's a good action. You feel that if you don't do it, right, people will say, you see that you didn't do this. So you feel ashamed of yourself for not doing it, so go ahead and do it. Haya is this inner state when you feel like being watched by another person. And the verse I recited in the beginning, Surah Alaq, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allaha yara. Doesn't he know that surely Allah is watching? Doesn't he know that surely Allah is watching? If we find ourselves doing wrong when we are on our own, or in a wrong company, or in a place where no one will judge us on, you know, right and wrong, because to them this is not wrong. This is not wrong to do that thing. Or it is not wrong not to do something good, you know. For example, if you are in a workplace and you don't pray, nobody cares. Nobody cares. You pray or don't pray, it doesn't matter to them. If you backbite maybe in a certain situation, nobody cares really. Right? So if I find myself doing it when nobody is judging me, right, in that company, it is not being seen as something wrong, then the issue is that I don't have haya to the extent that I would control myself. As you know, the word that we all are familiar with, taqwa, right? In Friday Salat, the khatib, the Friday prayer leader, is supposed to give advice of taqwa in both the sermons. It is a pillar of the khutbah. You have to remind people of taqwa. And taqwa is restraint, to restrain yourself. But you can restrain yourself through different channels actually. Restrain and taqwa is a general word Islam uses for all those different ways by which a person is able to restrain himself from doing something wrong, or restrain himself from not doing something good, right? To kind of motivate the person to do something good. Taqwa is that general, you know, subject, general outline of the headline or whatever you call it. But what leads to taqwa? There are so many different things can lead to taqwa. And haya is one of those things. Haya allows a person, makes a person strong enough to have taqwa. That means to be able to restrain yourself. Just as sabr is one of those ways. Sabr, you know. If you have enough sabr, then you can have taqwa as well. Ilm is another thing. Knowledge. Just knowing something, you may be able to restrain yourself. And there are other, you know, other ways also in Quran, Hadith, you can find it. So they are not two different things. Actually, they are in line. Haya leads to taqwa, sabr leads to taqwa, ilm leads to taqwa, and other things leads to taqwa, right? So we have to just understand this haya more. The more you look at the ahadith of A'imma alayhi salam, right, the more it tends to affect you. Because kalamukum nurun, in the Riyadh Ziyarat, you find that your words are light. If you, for example, were able to read the words of A'imma about haya, then it will gradually create haya or increase the haya in your heart. Salawat. It is a very important matter in Islam. For example, in Kafi, if you open the book of Hadith Kafi, the very first chapter is about Aql. Correct? And if you go to the first riwayat and the second riwayat, the very second riwayat in connection with Aql, you will find that mentions Haya right there. And very briefly, Jibreel alayhi salam came to Adam, right? And he said, I have been commanded, Adam, Jibreel alayhi salam is saying to Adam, I have been commanded to give you a choice, to choose between three things. You have to choose one of these three things and leave those other two. You can pick one. Adam alayhi salam asks Jibreel, what are those three things? So Jibreel alayhi salam said, Aql, intellect, Haya, modesty, or you know, the state of feeling ashamed of doing something wrong or not doing something good. Aql, Haya, and the third one is Deen. Choose either Aql or Haya or Deen. One of these three. So Adam alayhi salam said, Inni qad ikhtartu al-aql. I choose Aql. Right? So as soon as he picked Aql, Jibreel alayhi salam said to Haya and Deen, the other two, right? Get up and leave now. He picked his choice. He's taken Aql, now you two are left, you can go back. Faqala, and Haya and Deen responded, replied and said, we have been commanded that we have to stay with Aql wherever Aql is. Wherever Aql is, Haya and Deen will come with it. It is not possible that there is Aql and Haya is not there or Deen is not there. Salaam. So Jibreel said, for Shahnukuma, so stay you. As you have been commanded, do as you have been told. Wa'araja. And Jibreel alayhi salam went up. So if you have Aql, that means you're, if you have Haya, that means there is Aql. If a person has Deen, that means his Aql. If a person does not have strong religious faith, if a person does not have modesty and you know, this power inside, that is called Haya. For the person is Bahaya, that means his Aql also. Al-Haya'u min al-Aql. The hadith says the Haya is from Aql. The feeling, like for example, even after doing something wrong, or even after missing an opportunity to do something good, a person feels ashamed of himself. Even that is Haya. Haya doesn't mean you feel Haya in yourself before that time. It may be before or it may be after. Why didn't I do this? Or why did I do this? Right? Salawat. So what we see is that our Aima alayhi salam have given us a lot of direction about Haya itself. And the short summary of the definition of Haya, when you have what the dictionary says, what the ulama akhlaq says, and then what Quran and Hadith says, is that Haya is the awareness of being seen by a very honorable person. It is not just the presence of the honorable person. It is the awareness, consciousness of being seen by someone who you really respect very much. And how the kind of feeling or the awareness it creates inside, the shame it creates inside, right? As a result of that awareness, is called Haya. So it's possible that, for example, you there is no one watching, one, or the person is watching, but you are not aware of it, or it's possible that a person is watching, but you don't honor that person. That means you're not afraid by his judgment against you, how he views you. Because being known by the other people doesn't mean he knows your name. No. Maybe in a circle of friends, non-Muslim for example, right? They know you by name. They know your date of birth even. They know, for example, you're from wherever country, and they even know you're a Muslim. Maybe, you know, it doesn't bring that much Haya. But being seen by someone who knows you, you know, more than your name and your date of birth and country, you feel ashamed. Alaykum salam. You feel ashamed of saying something below the standard that you claim to follow. Correct? So it is all these things put together that generates the state of Haya. See, for example, a thief, when he is with people who don't know he is a thief and who are not like him, he doesn't want to be known as a thief. Doesn't want his name to be disclosed. Doesn't want, for example, people to know that he's a thief. But when he's sitting with a group of other thieves, he doesn't feel ashamed. They talk about, they plan the next theft, and they plan burglary, or they plan to do things, wrong things together, and nobody is ashamed of that. Similarly, on the other side, people who are the same faith, and they, you know, of course, they practice the same good faith and whatever, right? And it motivates them to do the right thing, and no difficulty. But if the same thing you try to do, a person tried to do, where there is no one else doing it, if the interest or motivation goes down, that means the haya is less. Why is it that the haya, you know, is not that much in a person? And why is it? It definitely, you know, all our choices that we make are based on our beliefs. Now, either we believe something based on what we know. We know something, we believe in something, we practice it. Either we don't know it or we don't believe it, that's why we are not doing it. It's not possible that you know something and you believe in it strongly and still go against your own beliefs and against your own knowledge. There are people who think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sitting behind curtains behind seven curtains, and that He doesn't have a direct, for example, contact with you. He's not watching you. He's not with you all the time. Or they think that they are on their own. No one else is watching them either. And this makes them, you know, negligent of their duties. Makes them disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But by knowing the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't you know Allah is watching you? And that your aql is watching you, and that the angels are watching you. Quran says there are honorable angels watching you. And plus, when the angels are watching you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, plus the a'imma and Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also aware of our actions. The more you read about this, the presence of angels around you all the time, except of course in our private time. Allah subhanahu and also angels also have limitations. They can't enter our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed the angels to come inside your heart and see what you are thinking. No, they are nazir upon your actions. They are watching. They are witnesses. They write down those who are with us, who are given this responsibility. The other angels who are watching too, they have different obligations. The angels that are there to note down what we are doing, not what we are thinking, and not in our place where we are on our own, on alone, you know, private time. So, and in Du'a Kumail also you read that you find that, oh Allah, you know, you are aware of things that even the angels, you have not allowed them to be a witness to those things, but you know that. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Because Allah is closer to us than our jugular vein. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this confidential to Himself. He knows what is in the heart of the person. He knows the niyat. The other people watch this person making a masjid or doing whatever, you know, or not doing any bad things maybe, but they are not aware of what is inside the heart. Even the angels are not aware of that. Now, it is different regarding Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Prophet. And that is a literature, of course, it needs time to discuss, to truly understand what that means. Because Ma'rifat of Imam is among the pillars of our faith. And correct recognition and knowledge of Imam. You know? And that's a subject, inshallah, you know, some other opportunity. But with all these people watching us, reading more about the fact that they are watching us all the time, our actions, right? It necessarily creates haya in a person. more and more. Being just aware, I'm being seen. Like you are, so it could be a kind of a treatment. You are, for example, you see yourself in a situation where either you are alone, person feels that, oh, I may end up doing something wrong, or you are in a wrong company, well, this company is not good for me, right? My haya is affected by this group. Or like Sharia talks about being alone with a female, right? For a man and a female, a man and a woman who are not mahram to each other, sitting in a closed room together, you know, the riwayat says that if a man and a woman who are not mahram, they are sitting in a confined place, then shaitan is the third person there. He connects them automatically. He wants to connect them. And connection just happens. He says, leave that place. Or have other people there too. Right? Bring other people, sit in a situation where you are not alone with, you know, if you are a woman, don't sit with a non-mahram alone. Or if you are a man, don't sit with a woman alone. The presence of a third person makes a difference. If the third person is not there, shaitan is the third person. He has bad intentions, of course. He tries to put wrong thoughts in the mind. And plus, I mean, the very surah, for example, Surah Yusuf in Holy Quran, talks about the incident where the room was closed, decorated, and then Zulaikha, this woman, married woman, she's in the room, and Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Now Prophet Yusuf is a Nabi of Allah and he is Masoom and all that, correct? So he will never do something wrong. That is our belief and our Iman. But as a human being, with the same kind of body that any other person has, right? The biological effects of something cannot be denied. That's why Quran says, وَلَقَدْ حَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. As Zulaikha presented herself to him, right? Quran said, Hammad bihi. She was attracted to him and he was attracted to her. Not by choice. Not by choice. The very fact that a man and a woman are alone in a room itself brings them, there's an attraction between the two. There's a reason why Quran mentions the story of Yusuf alayhi salam in such detail. But then Quran says, لَوْلَا أَنْ رَآ بُرْحَانَ رَبِّهِ. If it wasn't the fact that at that point Allah showed Yusuf a burhan, an argument, and then he moved away from that position, from that place, and he saved himself from sinning. Correct? Now what was that burhan? In the riwayat of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, so the verse I just mentioned, this is Surah Yusuf, verse 24. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. She's attracted to him, Yusuf alayhi salam, and he's attracted to her. Not by choice, not at the maqam of his ismat, just as having a human body, a man and a woman in a private place, right? There is this automatic attraction. لَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. But if it wasn't for the burhan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him, burhan, clear sign, clear something that became very, very clear, visible to him, right? And of course, being a prophet, he would have seen the clear sign, because he is a Nabi and Masoom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, correct? And lawla, if it wasn't that way, is so that, for example, what if, for example, just looking at him as a human being, not as a Nabi, any human being in that position who does not receive that burhan would fall into sin. Inshallah. Would fall into sin. Nabi will not, as a Nabi. But as a person, as a human being, he would fall into sin, like any other person. But what is that burhan? What was that burhan that convinced him right there? And we already saw that haya is from akhl. Haya comes from akhl, intellect, strong power of thinking. That leads to haya. So our fourth Imam al-Islam said, when Zulaikha and Yusuf were together, right? Now Zulaikha As Ayatollah Mazahiri, I remember in Masjid al-Azam in Qom, he mentioned the story of Zulaykha and Yusuf many occasions. And he said, he did an old research on this subject, and he said there were 16 factors in that room which were so attractive that anyone else would have easily fallen to the sin. 16 factors in the room. The way it was decorated, the way she decorated herself, the way she was speaking, and 2, 3, 4, 5, all of these factors. He said, one of these factors would be enough. So when that happened, this attraction began to form. She turned towards this idol in the room, and she went and covered that idol in the room with a piece of cloth. And she came back. So Yusuf alayhi salam asked him, "Ma hadha? What was that?" So she said, "I feel ashamed of that idol. He's watching us. He's watching, you know." So Yusuf alayhi salam said, "You are ashamed of someone who cannot hear, cannot see, cannot understand, cannot eat, cannot drink. And I would not be ashamed of someone who has created a human being and he has taught him, given him knowledge," right? And Imam alayhi salam said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Lawla an ra'a burhan rabbih." This was the burhan. This was the evidence right there. But it required Yusuf alayhi salam to think and ponder. Another person, that burhan may not be so convincing to him. But this burhan, this argument was convincing for Yusuf alayhi salam because he was using his akhl, because he was aqil. He was thinking. Look at the argument he gave to Zulaykha. He said, "I would not be ashamed of the one who created the human and who gave him knowledge." Right? So his control over me cannot be compared to any other being in universe, because he completely, you know, he's muhit upon me. He has ihata wujudi upon me. He completely surrounds me, encompasses me, all over me. Plus he has educated me and given me knowledge. And knowledge is a sign of aql. If you have aql, then you have knowledge. And aql, when he truly understands and comprehends facts and realities, right, then develops insight, acts upon that insight. You don't have a person who's aql and has knowledge, right, go against his knowledge and his aql, if he has that. And there are many who claim to be aql, but they are not. And some of those aspects we try to cover in our course, what that means really. What is aql? Why is it such a big gift? What does it do for us? How can we make it really strong and use it to empower ourselves? Right? Salawat. The whole of Islam is about haya. In the Hadith of Masumin, it says that every religion has a face, you know, and the face of Islam is haya. Every religion has a certain, you know, mizaj, certain way it presents itself. Islam presents itself as a religion of haya. For a man has to be bahaya, a woman has to be bahaya. Simple things like, for example, people who are related to each other, the way they talk to each other. But when they are talking to strangers outside, the way they talk changes, right? Haya. You are exercising haya in every place. A woman, the way she talks to her husband, she will never talk to a person outside. Correct? The information she shares with her husband, or even her relatives, she will never talk to a man on the street, talk in that tone, you know. And similarly, a man also, same way, the way he talks to his mahram, he will never go talking to other people like that. And this is all a sign of it. But aql has to be awake, alive, all the time, for a person to maintain that haya. Otherwise, in the wrong company, or when no one is watching, this haya can easily vanish, or become so weak that it doesn't really stand up against those things. I'll try to make it, you know, a little shorter so we don't have much time till Zuhr. A person asked our sixth Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Jafar Sadiq, what are those primary usul and mabani and principles that he practiced in his life? What were those big things, you know, that he applied in his life? And Imam alayhi salatu wasalam said, the things he counted, one of those things he said, وَعَلِمْتُ, and I understood, and I realized, and I knew that Allah is aware of what I do. Everything about me, I became aware that Allah is muttali', is aware, informed about me. فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ. So I became ashamed, you know. And I became aware, and I developed haya in myself. I cannot do something while He is watching me. He's seeing me. How could I do something against His knowledge? In front of Him, I would be ashamed of doing something wrong in front of people who know me, ordinary people. How could I do something when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right there watching me? How could I do that? Just reminder, you see, this reminder of ourselves again and again and again, this will empower us. This will empower us. Because Imam is giving his own example. He's saying, this is the principle I followed in my life. And Alim too, I became aware. I mean, I was always aware from your childhood, because he's from such a family, such an upbringing, such environment, such knowledge, ma'rifat, and the mizaj. You see, a person, how, you know, biologically and personality and mentally and psychologically, the whole mizaj of a personality of a person, which has so many, you know, sources, how a person becomes what he becomes. But if it's all in a very balanced form and shape, truly in a state of adalat, then this person will be masum. Will be masum. But what can we do? We have effects on our genetics, genetic effects on us, effects, bad effects of environment, bad effects of the food we eat, and then bad effects of all these things that happen day by day to us, that we continuously find ourselves doing wrong or not doing what is required to be done and feeling ashamed later. And that's why the door of istighfar is open, because the haya has to be used. Haya is there even after some doing something wrong. Allah honors a person who is haya and who comes and says, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu Ilayh. Haya is such an important thing in Islam, that even after doing something wrong, if a person, his haya is awake and he comes back and says, Astaghfirullah, Allah honors that haya and accepts this apology. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Well, since the time is too short and this majlis is close to the holy month of Muharram, and Karbala, which is a madrasa, it is a school, it is a university. On the day of Ashura, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was teaching several lessons at the same time. Lessons of haya, lessons of shuja'at, lessons of amanat, you know, lesson of amr al-ma'ruf, nahy al-munkar, all of those things. Lesson of hurriyat. Anta hurrun, he said to her, kama sammatka ummuka hur. You are free. You are not a slave of your desires. You are not a slave of another a person who is shaqi, who is bad. You're not a slave of an evil person or authority. You're not even a slave of your own nafsa ammara. You're a free man. Lesson of hurriyat, lesson of ilm, hikmat, lessons all over the Quran. Quran is full of lessons. Well, then, as we mu'mineen, inshallah, that we believe that there will be faraj of Ahlul Bayt, there will be zuhur of Imam Akhir Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam come. Is it like we are waiting for just a person to come out of nowhere, and we are all rejoicing and happy, and then back to the same old business? No. Zuhur, the word zuhur, we have to contemplate on this word. It doesn't mean, for example, a person who has gone outside comes back in. This is not zuhur. Zuhur and another word, faraj. Faraj, you know, opening, bushayish. It is not like, for example, okay, we were not making enough money, now it's opening Kema, now we are making more money now. Well, Faraj of, because Faraj has, this word has come in relation to Ahlul Bayt, Faraj of Ali Muhammad, for example. Or Zuhur of Imam Al Islam. Well, Zuhur, Faraj, they are in relation to Ma'sumin. It must have, it definitely has a specific meaning attached to it, right? Our great ulama who have understood ahadith, you know, they have gone deep into all the ahadith. Like Ayatollah Hasan Zade Mamuli, who is still living today, Jami'i Ma'qul wa Manqul, an alim of his caliber, like who you have, rarely you have people like that on earth. Now, he said, when we are talking about Faraj, or when we are talking about Zuhur, it means that Quran manifests in the society. That's what it means. Quran manifests in our lives. Quran becomes a living document. Every working person is a Quran in Natiq. Not just one Imam Ali who is an Imam in Natiq. All of those who follow Ali alayhi salatu wasalam become Quran in Natiq. That is the Faraj. The Zuhur of Ahlul Bayt, when they come out of this Ghaybat. Actually, when the Ma'arif and the teachings and the great values of Quran become widely spread in the society, everyone wants to practice them. No one wants to do the wrong thing. Right? Amanat is amanat, khiyanat is khiyanat. People understand it. Right? They would not let someone be wrong and people are watching. No, they will stand up for it. They will be able to understand. They will be seeking knowledge all the time. They will be hungry for knowledge. They would not be hungry for ignorance. When they know something, they will build their yaqeen on it. They will not convert their, change their yaqeen and their conviction into doubt. And doubt themselves. Because they will have strong iman and ma'rifat. All of those things, right? This is what we want. And haya is one of those things. In the words of great scholars, the jannat which has streams of honey and streams of milk and streams of water that is sweeter than honey flowing in the paradise. What it means is that if in a society, if in our lives, in your life, in my life, the streams of haya are flowing, the streams of amanat, the streams of ilm are flowing, then as we die, automatically we'll get into a jannat where this knowledge and this haya and this iman manifest, mujassam, become mujassam, and we are living there. Because we were already living in it, but we didn't see it. Now, as we die, we will see it, and we enjoy the fruits of those inner qualities that we have. And then, so we're working on a subject like haya. Actually, we are trying to manifest a stream of jannat in our lives today, right now. Make it flow. Make it flow. From our words, we are bringing our streams, you know. As Imam Baqir said, a person who becomes mukhlis, man akhlasa lillah, a person who purifies himself for 40 days, the streams of wisdom flow from his heart automatically on his tongue. He starts speaking hikmat just by keeping himself pure. How will you keep yourself khalis? One of the important ways is haya. Develop haya, you'll see yourself, you know, heart becomes pure every day, automatically. You are speaking and your words are having more effect. You are feeling something that you never felt before. The same name of Hussein alayhi salam you hear, it will affect your heart deeply. Because heart is awake. Heart is awake. And when heart is awake, you know, there are things it receives from outside, the things there, it comes from within. Jarat yanabi ul hikma, the streams of wisdom flow from the heart. So he's not learning from a scholar or from a book or reading some Quran or something. The heart itself is gushing out wisdom from within. Gushing out, giving out water, pure water of hikmat from within. He doesn't have a book in his hand, he's not praying, he's not doing anything. But the heart is alive and giving him, telling him, this is good, this is bad. Say this, don't say that. Go here, don't go here. You know? Because he's like a person inside who is telling him, this is good. Make him understand haq from batil. This distinguish between things in confusing situation doesn't know which way to go, what to say, what not to say, which choice to make. His heart will tell him, this is the right choice. Talk to this person. This is not the person. He will be able to distinguish between haq and batil in situations, specific situations which are so hard for our minds to distinguish and understand. Right? Look at now, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, in those most difficult times, they were making the choices based on their haya. In the day of Ashura, if you look at Imam alayhi salam, but Imam is the ultimate example of that. Even the Ashab of Imam alayhi salam, Ashab of Imam alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, you see them behaving in a certain way, you're amazed. You see how they do that. I'll present one or two examples from Maqtal, from the Arabic Maqtal. I was looking into to see, you know, how this came about in Karbala. And examples that caught my attention really, and there are numerous examples on that day, that and this is the morning of Ashura, before Zuhur, Shimr attacked the camp of Imam Hussain with a group. He attacked. Well, Imam alayhi salam had a Maysara and a Maymana. Shimr attacked the Maysara, the left side of his army. Imam Hussain's army was the popular name of 72. Probably there were 100 and something, because some people came from the other side, they, you know, at night or during the day, even till afternoon, some people actually changed sides, came to this side. So number really cannot be that fixed. So the Maysara of the Imam, he stood against that attacking, charging army, and they were able to repel that attack. And well, at that point, one of the people who confronted the army of Shimr was Abdullah ibn Umayr al-Kalbi. He stood up and he fought, and his right arm was cut, and his left foot was cut. And he's still, you know, alive, but he was captured. He was captured by this attacking army, taken with them, but he was forced in a situation. You know, you kill a person by shooting an arrow, he's dead. Sometimes you deprive a person and let him bleed to death. So they removed him from there and injured him so much that he couldn't fight or do anything. His blood was draining until he was close to die. It's called qatl al-sabr. Killing someone with sabr. At that point, he was bleeding to death. His wife came to him, Umm al-Wahab, and sat near him, and she started wiping the blood from his face. And she said, Hani an laka al-Jannah. Jannah be Mubarak to you, paradise. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives me the risk of shahadat as well. Shimr ordered his slave to hit her on the head with the amud, the gurz. And he hit her and she bled to death. She was hurt so deeply, her head was crushed and she died. Look at this level of behayai from the side of Shimr. A Shimr was a person who is willing to come and burn the tents of Imam al-Islam while Imam is alive. He tried, he actually attacked, and he said, he threw a lance, a neza, on the camp of Imam al-Islam, and women were shocked and scared. They ran away from that tent. And Imam al-Islam turned to Shimr and said, you are trying to burn the tent of my family? May Allah burn you. Well, when Imam al-Islam said that, the whole army heard him, army of Shimr. And they started scolding Shimr. And they said, what kind of a man are you? How can you do this? And he felt ashamed at that point because of others, and he pulled back. Haya is playing a very important role in the day of Ashura on both sides. Of course, the other side of army, which has shown behayai by just coming against the family of Holy Prophet, even in that respect, they have different degrees of haya. Some have some haya left, some have more, some have no haya left. But when the woman is killed, this Abdullah ibn Umayr is also killed. They severed his head. They removed his head and threw his head on the side of Imam Hussein's camp. As his head was thrown, his mother was watching. She came forward, he picked up the head of her son, cleaned that head with her chadar, right, and threw it back to the army and said, when we give something in the way of Allah, we don't take it back. This is a sacrifice you have given in the path of Hussein. We are not willing to take it back. It is a sacrifice we have given. And she picked up a stick or an amud of khaymah and she ran towards the army of Ubaidullah. And at that point, Imam Hussein saw this old woman running on the other side to fight. And he said, Rahimakallah, irji'i rahimakallah, come back. May Allah have mercy on you. Jihad is not wajib on you. Jihad is not wajib on you. She turned back and she said, Allahumma la taqta raja'i. Allah, do not disappoint me. Do not disappoint me. Imam Hussein said, La yaqta Allahu raja'i. Don't worry, Allah will not disappoint you. You have a hope in your heart. If you have a dua in your heart, Allah will fulfill that, the dua. Another example of haya among the ashab of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a person who is newly converted to Islam. Wahab ibn Hubab al-Kalbi. Wahab al-Kalbi, you know. He was passing by Karbala on his route. He was going somewhere and he met Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. He had the tawfiq and he converted to Islam and he joined Imam alayhi salatu wasalam in Karbala. And on the day of Ashura, this Christian who had understood, who had converted to Islam, on the hands of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was with his mother and with his wife. So when the time came and the initial, you know, the shower of arrows, the way they put the few arrows, the short arrows on Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he lost many companions in the early hours of Ashura. 40, they say, about 40. They got thousands of arrows. They were protecting the family of Holy Prophet. They were protecting the Bani Hashim. They were protecting Imam Hussein. They were putting their chest in front of Imam Hussein. They would be hit, but to save the family of their Prophet, right? So many of them, when Wahab's mother saw this, she got up and said, Qum ya bunayya, stand up, my son. This is the time for you to go and support and give help to the son of Fatima. This is your time to go and protect. Give your life. Yeah. You know? And save Hussein alayhi salam. And he said, he promised to his mother, Af'alu ya umma. Mother, I promise you, I will do that. Wala uqassir. And I will not be negligent in this. And then he started reading his rajaz. Now he's reading this new convert, just recent convert, he's reading Ash'ar, rajaz, you know, about his bravery and how why he is there and all that. Then he attacks the army of Ibn Ziyad and he kept killing them, killing, fighting, and killed a lot of them. Qatala jama'atan, a big group, jama'at of the Ibn Ziyad soldiers he killed. Thumma raja'a ila imra'atihi. Then he turned, he came back among the few people who would go and come back. He's one of them. He came back to his mother and to his wife and said, Ya umma araziti, mother, are you satisfied with me? Are you pleased with me? Look at the answer of his mother. She said, Ma razito, I will not be pleased until you are killed in front of Hussain al-Islam. Until you give your life. Because she saw, this is a day where this overwhelming army and enemy against us, everyone will die. He said, no, you have to kill, you have to die, you have to give your life. When she heard this, of course, this is a conversation very hard to bear for any you know, a wife of this person. So she said, his wife said to him, Billahi alayk la tufji'ni bi nafsik. Do not make me cry for you. Do not give me this shock to see you die. Right? When she said this, his mother said to him, Billahi alayk. He said, Ya bunayya, eh zaman, don't worry about what she said. Go and fight. Go and fight for the son of Fatima. Go and fight. Because this will give you the shafa'at of the Prophet on the Day of Judgment. Go, this is your time to go. He listened to his mother, of course, and he went. When he went, this time, both his hands were cut. Both his arms were cut. Brave soldier, very brave person. But when both his arm was severed and he was injured, his wife, أَخَذَتْ إِمْرَأَتْهُ عَمُودًا, his wife picked up Amud, one of the, you know, pillars of one of the tents, I guess. She picked up And she came and she was screaming and saying, Fadaka abi wa ummi, may I die for you, to her husband she was saying. Qatil, keep fighting, keep. She's encouraging him to fight. Encouraging him to fight. Dunat tayyibin harama Rasulullah. And protect the family of the Holy Prophet who is here. It's okay, continue fighting. Well, when he looked at his wife, he turned back and said, just now you were telling me not to go. And now you come out and you say, go and fight. And you are willing to fight with me, along with me, against this enemy. Look at this answer of this lady. He said, La talummani, do not say that to me. Do not say why I said this and why I said that. Inna wa'iyat al-Husayn kasarat kalbi. The words of Hussein alayhi salam broke my heart. I saw the cry of Hussein and it broke my heart. So the husband said, Mallazi samirti lanu. What did you hear Hussein say? Why did it break your heart? She said, Ya wahab ra'aytu jalisan wahab. I saw him sitting bi bab al khayma, at the entrance of his khayma, and he was crying and saying aloud, Wa qillata nasira. So few supporters, so few friends. Fabaka wahab puka al kathira. This majlis is happening in the battlefield. And Wahab says, Wahab starts crying when he hears this. Puka al kathira, he cried a lot. He has lost his arms. He's standing in the battlefield talking to his wife. He says, Hussein al Islam is crying because he has so few followers today. But he says to his wife, go back to the women. May Allah have mercy on you. But the wife refused. Of course, it's for Islam. She doesn't want to go back. So at that point, Wahab didn't know what to do. He turned towards Imam Hussein. He said in a loud voice, Sayyidi, my master Abu Abdullah, do something. Take my wife back to the camp. Imam alayhi wasalam took his wife, ordered his wife be brought to the camp. But at that point, the enemy, they surrounded him. They killed him. He continued fighting, even after losing an arm. He was killed in the battle. Look at this haya in this whole occasion. And the ultimate example of haya is Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha. The Imam alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't want any harm to reach his family. Doesn't want his family members, his sister to be seen, to come out of the camp. Allah la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, increase our haya. Increase our knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Increase our ma'rifat of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Oh Allah, make the zuhur of Imam close. Make us among his devoted followers. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of all those who have passed away. And help us follow the right path. Ya Hussein.
سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پہ ردا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پہ ردا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پہ ردا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پہ ردا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا جمع ہے کوفیوں کا میرے چلنے کی جا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پہ ردا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میرے سر سے نو بار چھنی چادر بلوے میں نبی زادی پھروائی گئی در در مل جائے ردا مجھ کو میری دوار کو نہیں بازار جفا جان میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر جا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر جا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد چلوں کیسے لاکھوں ہے تماشائی یاد آتا ہے رہ رہ کے عباس میرا بھائی فریاد کروں کسے اب تیرے سوا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں سجاد میرے دل کو یہ درد ستاتا ہے سر غازی کنیزے سے جب خاک پہ آتا ہے سر میرا کھلا دیکھے ہم اسے بڑا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا معلوم ہے آدا کو غازی کی بہن ہوں میں بے دست ہے وہ غازی پابند رسن ہوں میں یاد آئی وفا اس کی جب پاس رہا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں کوئی نہیں بازار جفا مجبور ہے بے بس ہوں میں رو بھی نہیں سکتی دروں کی اذیت سے میں سو بھی نہیں سکتی اس درج مصیبت میں ہم درد میرا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد تیری حالت دیکھی نہیں جاتی ہے بے پردہ مجھے دیکھے یہ بات رلاتی ہے سجاد تیری طرح کانٹوں پہ چلا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں کو کیا جا کے بتاؤں گی بیمار دینا کو ہم دل پہ اٹھانے کو اب باقی بچا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا سجاد میں زینب ہوں میرے سر پر دا کوئی نہیں بازار جفا بازار ستم میں تھا زینب کا عجب عالم مظہر میں لکھوں کیسے ظالم نے کہا جس دم ہے کون تیرا وارث का कोई नहीं बाजार जफा सजाद में जरब हूँ मेरे सर पे रिदा कोई नहीं बाजार जफा सजदा है कुफियों का मेरे चलने की जा कोई नहीं बाजार